All right, listeners, ready for another deep dive? Today, we're taking a trip back to 1906 into the world of contract law. It's a case you guys sent in, and it's a fascinating one for sure. Embry v. Hargadeen McKittrick Dry Goods Co. This Missouri Appeals Court decision, it all comes down to one question. Can an offhand remark actually create a legally binding contract? Yeah. Like, we're talking a casual conversation having huge EE consequences.
Yeah, this case is a real eye-opener. It shows how legal thinking was shifting, even back then, you know, before it was all about what each party was secretly thinking when they made a deal. But Embry v. Hargadeen, it kind of acknowledges that the world moves fast. You know, what we do matters just as much as what we think we intend, especially in business.
Okay, so let's set the scene. December 1906, we've got Mr. Embry working for the McKittrick Dry Goods Company. His contract's about to expire, and he wants to know if he still has a job.
Yeah.
Pretty standard stuff. He goes to his boss, Mr. McKittrick, several times trying to get that contract renewed.
And McKittrick just keeps brushing him off. Imagine the tension. You're Embry. It's the holidays coming up, and you need this job. So December 23rd, the contract's already expired. He decides to have it out.
He basically says, look, I need a straight answer. Am I staying or going? And this is where things get really messy. Embry claims he told McKittrick flat out, give me a contract or I walk. And get this, according to Embry, McKittrick says, go ahead. You're all right. Get your men out and don't let that worry you. So Embry keeps working, thinking everything's fine.
But McKittrick tells a completely different story. He says he was super busy getting ready for some big meeting with the stockholders and told Embry he just didn't have time to talk. Come back later and focus on work. Two completely different versions of the same conversation.
Oh, man. Talk about awkward, you know, company Christmas party and all that. But legally speaking, this difference in interpretation, it ended up in court.
And the first round at the trial court level, McKittrick won. The court went with that classic meeting of the minds idea. You know, both parties have to consciously agree to the contract's terms. Since McKittrick insisted he never intended to renew, they said it wasn't binding.
So at this point, you're Embry feeling pretty defeated, all that stress for nothing.
Not so fast. He appeals the decision, and this is where it gets interesting. The appeals court, they overturn the trial court's ruling, and their reasoning, it's actually crucial for anyone who makes deals, even if it's not about fancy dry goods.
Okay, so what was the appeals court's thinking in siding with Embry?
Basically, they said, look, we can't just go by what people claim they were thinking. We have to look at what a reasonable person would understand based on their actions and words.
So even if deep down McKittrick was thinking, this guy's out of here, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because his words created a totally different impression.
Exactly. The court was basically saying that in a fast-paced world, we have to be able to rely on what people communicate to us. If you tell someone, don't worry, and they act on that, you can't just turn around and say, oh, I didn't really mean it.
And that's where this whole reasonable reliance concept comes in, right?
Exactly. The court recognized that Embry had every reason to rely on McKittrick's statement. He kept working, thinking his job was safe. The law is there to protect that kind of good faith action.
Wow, that's a big deal. It makes you wonder, could this apply to more casual agreements too? Like stuff we do every day?
That's a great question, and one we should definitely explore further. But first, let's dig a little deeper into Judge Good's reasoning and the lasting impact this case had on contract law.
It's really interesting how a simple conversation between a boss and employee, you know, it opens up all these legal questions.
Mm.
It's not just about signing on the dotted line anymore, right? It's about what we say and how we say it, those impressions we create.
Mm.
Like even a quick email or, you know, just chatting in the hallway, it could have more weight than we think.
Absolutely. This case really highlights that gray area. You know, the appeals court wasn't saying that meeting of the minds doesn't matter, but they added this layer of protection for people acting in good faith.
So it's like they were saying, look, we get it. You can't always read someone's mind. But in the real world, we have to be able to trust that people's words mean something.
Exactly. It's about preventing situations where someone, you know, misleads another person, even if they don't mean to, and then hides behind what they were thinking to get out of a deal.
I'm thinking about our listeners. You know, they might not be lawyers, but they make agreements all the time, maybe without even realizing it. This case seems to be saying we should all be more careful about how we communicate, especially when it comes to business.
It's definitely a cautionary tale. Think about it. If McKittrick had just said, hey, I need more time to decide about your contract or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, straightforward. It could have saved everyone a lot of trouble.
That's a great point. Clear communication. Making sure everyone's on the same page. That's lesson number one. But what about this reasonable reliance idea? It seems pretty important.
It's the heart of the case. It has huge implications for contract law in general. The court in Embry v. Hargadeen, they basically established that if someone relies on a promise or statement to their detriment, and that reliance is considered reasonable, well, then the law will step in to protect them.
So in this case, Embry believed he had a job based on what McKittrick said. And the court upheld that belief, even though McKittrick later tried to say he didn't mean it that way.
That's right. The court recognized that people make decisions based on what they're told. It wouldn't be fair to let someone off the hook just because they were thinking something different.
That makes sense. But let's be real. Sometimes we say things we don't mean, or we say things in a way that could be misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. Is there any wiggle room here, or are we all supposed to walk on eggshells when we make agreements?
That's a really interesting question, and it gets to why this case is still so relevant over 100 years later. The law is constantly trying to balance two things, upholding people's intentions and recognizing that communication isn't perfect.
So where does Embry v. Hargadeen fit into that? Did it tip the scales too far in one direction?
Some legal experts might say that it did, that it put too much weight on what was said out loud and not enough on what the parties were actually thinking.
Hold on, I gotta play devil's advocate here. Couldn't this ruling let someone twist any words into a contract? Where do you draw the line?
It's a valid concern, and it's something courts have been dealing with ever since this case. The key is that phrase, reasonable reliance. The court isn't saying that any statement creates a binding contract.
So there needs to be a clear connection between what was said and what the person relied on.
Exactly. And that reliance has to be something a reasonable person would consider justifiable given the circumstances. Let's say I mentioned that I might sell my car someday, and you go out and buy a new garage based on that.
That doesn't seem very reasonable.
It wouldn't be. There's no direct link between what I said and what you did. A court would likely say your reliance wasn't justified, but if we were talking seriously about selling the car and I gave you a specific price, and you said, okay, I'll take it, well, that's different.
So context is key. It's not just about the words themselves. It's about the whole situation.
Exactly. And that's what makes Embry v. Hargadeen such a fascinating and complex case. It forces us to think about how we communicate the power of our words and the legal consequences that can come from everyday conversations.
Speaking of fascinating language, we haven't even talked about Judge Good's writing style. There's one line that really sums up this case.
Yeah, yes, the famous, intention is immaterial till it manifests itself in an act. It's almost poetic.
Right. It's like, he was trying to do more than just explain the law. He's making the point about how we interact in a world that's always changing.
I think you're right. It's a very insightful observation, and it's something we can explore more when we come back for the final part of our deep dive. We'll look at what this case means, the impact of Judge Good's words, and what it all means for you, the listener, as you navigate the world of agreements and contracts.
Welcome back to the show. We've been talking about this 1906 case, Embry v. Hargadeen. It really changes how we think about agreements. It's not just about official contracts anymore. It's about how we do business every day and the legal impact that can have.
What's really interesting is this case, it's not just about dry legal stuff. It reflects a bigger change that was happening in society at the time. You know, America was industrializing really fast, communication was getting faster, and the courts had to adapt.
And Judge Good, the one who wrote this appeals court decision, he had a way with words. We keep coming back to that line of his, intention is immaterial till it manifests itself in an act. It's like he knew the pace of life was changing and the law needed to catch up.
That's a great point. He wasn't just deciding a case. He was figuring out how to apply old contract ideas to a new world. You know, before it was all about what people secretly intended. But in a world of telegrams and busy factories, what you said and did became really important.
It makes me think about how we communicate today. With email, text, all those quick messages, what would a judge 100 years from now think about how we do business?
That's an important question. Has technology made this case more relevant or less? We have more written records than ever, but so much of what we say is informal, you know, full of emojis and shortcuts. There's a lot of room for misunderstandings.
That's a little scary. So this case is less about never making a casual agreement and more about being aware of the context,
right?
Like, who are you talking to? What's at stake? Could this be seen as a real promise later on?
Exactly. And that's what makes reasonable reliance so tricky. It's not a simple rule. Courts have to look at each situation and ask, did the person who relied on the statement have a good reason to think it was a real promise?
Okay, so for our listeners out there, what are some key takeaways? Because honestly, most of us aren't thinking about contract law every time we talk.
Here's the good news. You don't need to be a lawyer to be smart about how you communicate. First, be aware of the power of your words. If something is important, say it directly. Don't rely on hints or assumptions. Second, if you're relying on someone's word, make sure you have a solid reason to believe it's a commitment.
So it's about clarity on both sides. I like that. It's like Embry v. Hargening gives us a new way to look at everyday interactions.
It reminds us that the law isn't just about old books. It reflects how we live, work, and talk to each other. And sometimes those little conversations can teach us important legal ideas that shape our world.
Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into Embry v. Hargening McKittrick Tri-Goods Co. We've gone from a contract dispute to a bigger conversation about communication trust and how agreements work in a fast-paced world.
It's been great exploring all this with you.
Same here. And to everyone listening, thanks for joining us. We hope you learned some interesting things. And maybe you'll have something to think about next time you're in a conversation that could have unexpected legal consequences. See you next time.